When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we talk about stuff. I don't know what it is because we haven't recorded it yet. And we don't have a lot planned. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hi, everybody. My name's Travis.
Hi, everybody. I am Brandon.
Nothing grabs the listener's attention and tells them, buckle up. This is an episode worth listening to. Like me having no idea what is about to happen. Oh, I know what we could talk about. I'm just going to add it to the show notes
It's like the first time you ever went on Space Mountain, right? Like you don't know what you're in for because it's all dark in there. You don't know where the twists are. You don't know where the turns are. You don't know where the drops or the lifts or the screams are going to show up.
Were you a fan of roller coasters as a child?
Yeah, I was.
I was late to the game. Like I got nervous about roller coasters until I was probably like middle school.
Really?
But even then, like even like in high school, like I went on some roller coasters, like Disney level roller coasters. I was cool with, at an appropriate age.
Yeah.
It took me longer to get into the Haunted Mansion than I care to admit, which is evident based on my fear of everything. But yeah, like Goliath at Magic Mountain.
Uh-huh.
I went in high school and got all the way into the seat and was like, nah, get me the heck out of this thing. and like I got out later on. Went and wrote it like, I think me and a couple buddies went up there and wrote it like 10 times in a day because it was like really off season. And so we just walked on all the rides. But yeah, I mean, now being like a Disney Parks enthusiast and all these things, like you never know that I was so hesitant at an early age. But you always, you're like, doesn't matter. Lights on, lights off, cool rock music or not. I'm on this ride.
Yeah, I was all about roller coasters, I think. The only roller coaster I wasn't, it's not even a roller coaster that I wasn't a fan of, was at Knott's Berry Farm, the ship.
Oh, that goes back and forth.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask because you are the resident expert at motion sickness. And well, I don't know. Does that affect you? You got to rock some Dramamine and ginger chews when you visit the theme park, or
I think I do now. If I go to Universal is renowned for their video rides.
Yes.
like
the simulator based attractions,
like Star Tours, the Star Tours ish rides, and that makes me motion sick. So I usually pop a Dramamine for those types of things. I think now for roller coasters, it's more of like the head like going and like banging it against the back of the seat where it's like, I have a headache now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like riding the Matterhorn and getting a free back adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as that ship ride at Knott's Berry Farm. And for those who don't know, it's just a ship that goes up and down and back.
It just swings back and forth. Usually in those rides, half of the riders are facing like one way and half you're all facing inward.
Yeah.
So it's like you're looking at each other. And then when you go back, you're looking straight at the ground. And then you go up and then you're just waiting to see if anybody vomits on you.
Like yeah.
it's great. Yeah, yeah. I don't love that. I don't think I went on that type of ride, period. Until recently when I started taking my kids to the local Six Flags that has one of those. And they're like, yeah, let's go on this ride. And I'm like, must we? because I still don't love like spinny rides. Mm-hmm. So like teacups, fine. Yeah. Any like Tilt-A-Whirl or really anything featured at like a state fair. Yeah. You know what? I'm good. I'll be over here at the corn dog stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys enjoy that.
I was maybe like six, I think, at this ship ride. And I went on it with my mom and she's like right next to me. And they say when you get on that ride, they're like, if for whatever reason you feel like you need to get off, just raise your hand. Right now I'm young. Right.
Literally everyone is putting their hands up, by the way, on the ride.
Not me, right? Because I'm holding on for dear life. And like, it's like, raise your hand. Like, I can't raise my hand. If I raise my hand, I will fly out of the seat.
I literally can't let go. My knuckles are locked into position.
You know, like yeah. Over and over yeah. again. So fuck Knott's Berry Farm.
That's right. And with that, hey, everybody, my name's Travis. He's Brandon. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. So glad that you're here. If you're new, if you're listening for the first time, first off, welcome. Thank you for being here. Plenty of ways that you can keep up with the show. You can head over to Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. Send us emails, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com or Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Finally, you can go over to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can check out all of our podcasts, everything that we do at that website. Finally, if you want video versions of the podcast, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, see which one of us is the bald one and which one of us wears glasses. Those are our only distinguishing features whatsoever. Oh, and then a big shout out to all of the patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you for your support of all of our podcasting practices, I guess. Just very, very thankful for the fans over there as well. And this is Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about
everything.
Nothing.
And nothing.
It's like the Seinfeld of podcasts.
It's really great, right? Like we've gone to talking about everything and nothing. Apathetic Enthusiasm. It's a show of words that conflict with each other.
It's almost like it was there all along.
I wear glasses. You don't. I have facial hair. You don't. I have actual hair. You don't. You shave your balls. I don't. Right. Like, it's just like back and forth.
Again, that's not something you can see at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm.
How are you doing, Travis? What's going on with you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I had a pretty relaxing weekend. It was very, very Lorcana filled, which, lots of, watching Lorcana, playing Lorcana, and then building a jigsaw puzzle based on Lorcana, because the company, the Ravensburger that makes Lorcana, is a puzzle company. They like most of the jigsaw puzzles at like Barnes and Noble and probably at Target or wherever you buy your jigsaw puzzles.
Sure.
There is a good amount of them that are made by Ravensburger.
Really?
So, they finally made jigsaw puzzles of Lorcana. It's kind of weird. They take the artwork from a bunch of cards and put it all in one puzzle. I would almost prefer that they just took the artwork of an individual card and made a puzzle of it. But, they're still really, really interesting looking. They have one for each color in the game. So you could buy six if you, I don't know, were insane. I was building the puzzle. You like jigsaw puzzles? Wow. This really took a turn.
Apathetic Enthusiasm, where we talk about our love of jigsaw puzzles. I do like jigsaw.
I feel like people are really hot or cold on jigsaw puzzles. They're into them or they hate them.
I'm a fan of them. I'm a fan of jigsaw puzzles. I went through this little phase where I had jigsaw puzzles at work and like during meetings where like I'm just listening in and like it's multitasking, right? Like there's stuff I need to do, but I cannot do those things and listen to meetings at the same time. But I can listen to meetings and do jigsaw puzzles because it's like, okay, oh, there's someone's saying about how I'm supposed to do something else. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's bullshit, but whatever. Oh, there's a corner piece. And then I think, all the people that, cause I'm a manager. So all the people who work for me started making fun of me doing jigsaw puzzles. And they're like, then it was turned into like a, oh, does Brandon do anything? I was like, I don't want that perception. So I stopped doing them at work. Now I just lock the door and play the Switch.
There you go. Cause I'm on a very important meeting. up, down, left, right.
I hear snoring. I hear snoring in the office.
I moved offices. Now it's almost been a couple of years now, but the office I moved to, the office jigsaw puzzle for like everyone, collaborative open to everyone jigsaw puzzle is like right outside the door of my office. And I learned a lot about myself when that happened because I will walk by a jigsaw puzzle and just like glance at it and be like, I wonder if there's a piece that I could put in. And then an hour goes by and I'm like, I have to pick up my kids. So I can get very distracted by a jigsaw puzzle, but, I was streaming. They had the first Disney Lorcana challenge this weekend for the new season post rotation in Bologna, Italy. This was a European Disney Lorcana challenge, which meant it started at like 2 a.m. or something. And there's no way I was catching that live stream. But by the time I woke up, they were several rounds in. And I like to watch those just to, one, get a sense of what decks are popular, what people are playing. It's great to watch people that are actually good at the game to kind of learn how they play it and learn strategy for yourself and things like that. So, and unlike watching football or basketball or other professional competition, I have somewhat of an ability to translate what I learned on the screen into actionable, knowledge, as opposed to like, hey, look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dunking on that guy. Well, I can't jump a foot. So cool stuff. So there you go. I watched a lot of Lorcana. Set champ season this month. Oh boy. Really cool prizing. I really want to win some stuff.
We're so excited here at Apathetic Enthusiasm
the pinnacle of hyped.
How's Ink Play Pass going with the excitement train?
So that's exactly the transition I was hoping for. Ink Play Pass, for those of you that have missed the other episode, is the personal content creation endeavor that I have ventured off on that started off real strong and is already fizzling. not real strong. It started off. Okay. It started off not very strong.
Thank you.
The content like itself didn't start off strong in terms of viewership or followership, but my efforts that I put into it started off real strong, and I was trying to create a lot of things. I'm learning about what I want to do with Ink Play Pass that's different from, say, Apathetic Enthusiasm or Interdimensional RSS in terms of like the form of content and the length of content. Like, this is generally about a 45 minute to an hour long podcast. Interdimensional RSS is about the same thing. Me producing an hour of content with just myself would be unbearable, I think. So I was making like 30 minute ish podcasts, and even that was really difficult to sustain. And then I felt like maybe I just stick to short form content, like Instagram reels and short, more shareable type stuff. And I've recorded several things that I just haven't posted. I have gotten kind of distracted over the last like week or so. Kiddo was in the hospital for a little bit and things like that. But I had no excuse. I was making a jigsaw puzzle a bunch of the weekend. Like I could have posted stuff. So I think it's just like finding, like, I don't know exactly what I want to do with it, and just doubling down on it. Like I am sharing stuff via the account. Mm-hmm. And like usually doing story updates about my personal Lorcana games and stuff like that. But I think it's not something I've given up on by any means. It's just something I need to kind of find the right balance of, because
frequency, habit, like your schedule of when you want to do those things. Right. Once you get into like the routine of, okay, I'm going to record something here, and then I'm going to do this. And then once I do this, then I'm going to do this. Then everything kind of falls into place and kind of falls around it. Right. We do this on Monday. We do Swiffle Boys, Rick and Morty stuff. And when that season is going on. Right. And there's pressure on us when we don't do those things on Monday. We're like, shit, we got it. We missed Monday for whatever reason. When can we do it? Right. And so there's that pressure, like, yeah, we missed that, but so we know we need to do it. Let's do it. And there's, between us, there's the pressure between, like, I know you want to do it. You know, I want to do it. So we kind of keep our, each other accountable.
Yeah. We hold each other accountable for sure. Nobody's doing that for Inkplay Pass. Like,
yeah, go ahead and do it right now, Travis.
And there's like just other bits to it. Like, I go out and play Lorcana on, it was Friday nights. We went out and played Thursday night this week. I played on Sunday. Plus like we do this on Monday. So then do I record on Tuesday and just like ignore my family 3 days straight? Do I wait a couple extra days? I really thought about doing like Thursday nights, because Lorcana does their actual live streams where they update the community on stuff in the middle of the day on Thursday. And I was like, I could strike while the iron's hot and talk about stuff that they talk about on there, like on Thursday. But then any major tournaments or anything that happened in the previous weekend are now like 4 or 5 days old, and every other content creator has already released some sort of video or something about that. So it's just, I don't know, finding the right timing, the right space to kind of fit into that stuff too.
Yeah. But you know, you pay attention to all those other creators too, so you can steal all their content. And then when you're striking when the iron's hot on the Thursday, then
I just repeat everything they say too.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, Travis. All of those guys, I'm assuming they're guys. Sorry, I just assume all Lorcana players are women.
It's a lot of females, and
there are so many content creators that are talking about the same thing. The idea that you don't want to say the same thing as all the other people who are saying the same thing, I get it. But it's still you who's saying it. That's the difference, you know. You have to remember that. You have to remember that you are bringing something. Like when I'm writing a new song, I'm like, this song sucks. But there's a lot of songs that suck. At least this one is mine.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And speaking of songs that suck, Taylor Swift released a new album.
Oh yeah, yeah. How is that new album? I heard middling things about it.
Bop after bop, let me tell
really?
You.
Really?
It's it's
not, right? Like I've heard not great things about it. Like
it is interesting. So I have been a somewhat of a Swiftie for a little while now. I enjoy pop music. I'm comfortable enough in my masculinity to say that. And I don't know. I like Taylor Swift. My youngest is obsessed with Taylor Swift. As obsessed as someone could be with anything. That's pretty much how she feels about Taylor Swift. So very excited to get a new album. But I've noticed this thing when the new albums come out where the first like listen or two, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if it's that good. I don't know if I like it so much. Like, and then after a few more listens, I'm like, oh, actually this song's really catchy. And oh, this song's, oh, I didn't catch what she was actually talking about in the lyrics of this one. And oh, that's pretty interesting. And, by 3 or 4 days later, I'm like, yeah, no, there's a bunch of really good songs on this album. A lot of this album borrows from other songs or styles, like not direct sampling, like you would hear in like hip hop or something like that.
Homages.
Yeah. There's a word online that somebody used that was talking about like using like the same like chord progressions or something, or like using the same, I don't know. It sounds very similar to other songs you've heard before.
Yeah.
But with like different lyrics or different things like that. A lot of people assuming because Taylor Swift fans are like the Illuminati or something, where they look at like every possible thing and look for clues and look for like hints at other albums or hidden messages and stuff like that, which is really weird. Like you're okay for the audio listener. Brandon's making a weird face, like he's never heard of this before. Yeah. Do you not understand how like
do they think that she actually died a couple years ago, and that you know the whole Paul is dead conspiracy theory?
But like okay, like the Eras tour, which lasted like 2 years, right? Yeah. Like that, people were guessing at what her next album would be for years. Based on things that happen on stage during that tour. Like at the end of her performance, like this like orange door would come down on the screen and then they would leave through this orange door or something like that. She released a whole like double album in the middle of that tour. And so like people were like, people didn't expect that. And she incorporated it into the actual tour. But yeah. And so now this album's out. Everybody was hoping she would re-release one of her old albums because she was doing that for a while. Like all, but there's all these different like people, like she posts a picture or she posts something online and people like with the red yarn on the board or whatever.
Charlie like, Day. Yeah.
And so, which to their credit, Taylor Swift does leave a ton of Easter eggs and things in a lot of her work and a lot of her media stuff that she does. So she's always like hinting at stuff, which is just causes this loop where now certain fans interpret every single thing that happens as a hint towards something else. When sometimes it's just like a Target commercial. Like it's that's just what it is. So anyway, that said, the album came out this weekend. We listened to it. We went to the official release party screening, which I would not recommend. I mean, it's over now. Like people can't go to it, but like, you know, those lyric videos that are on YouTube where people just put the words of the lyrics up on screen for a song. Imagine paying to go to a movie theater to watch this. there was a really funny part to me in that whole thing. So this album, it's written by Taylor Swift. She was in a relationship with the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, Travis Kelce, the entire time of this album, right?
Are they still together?
They are, in fact, engaged.
Oh shit! I thought they broke up a couple years ago.
I don't know how much you're lying to me right now. Anyway, so they're really in love, and I think there's a physical component to that love that is expressed a lot through music. And
his dick is so big, it's a long shaft, it's hard and it penetrates my vagina.
I want you to know how not far off you are from the lyrics of the song called Wood. I need you, after this recording, to go listen to the song Wood. The song starts off talking about, like,
daisies,
step on a crack.
Let's I've got the lyrics up. I looked them up already. Daisies bare naked. I was distraught. He loves me not. He loves me not. Penny's unlucky. I took him back and then stepped on a crack and the black cat laughed. And baby, I'll admit I've been a little superstitious. Fingers crossed until you put your hand on mine. Seems to be that you and me, we make our own luck. A bad sign is all good. Ain't got to knock on wood. All that bitching, wishing on a fallen star, never did me any good. Ain't got to knock on wood. It's you and me forever dancing in the dark. All over me. It's understood. I ain't got to knock on wood. Forgive me, it sounds cocky. He ah-matized me. And opened my eyes, redwood tree, ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs. Jesus Christ. Girls, I don't need to catch the bouquet to know a hard rock is on the way. And baby, I'll admit I've been a little blah, 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 new heights of manhood. Ain't got to knock on wood. Let's see.
No, how that's pronounced in the song is new heights, manhood. I ain't got to knock on wood. Travis Kelce's podcast is called New Heights. So his New Heights manhood. It also talks about his magic wand at some point. It's a dong song. This is a song about Kelce's manhood.
It's its own genre, dong songs.
We were literally joking about this song on the way to the movie theater. Me, my wife, my sister-in-law, both of my daughters, joking about, like, especially because my youngest, who is still fairly innocent, totally did not understand that that's what this song was about. And so we were like, yeah, this is, that's what she's singing about.
What does she think the thighs line is about?
You know, listen, I don't know. As kids, we listened to a lot of music that we didn't fully process the meaning behind either. You know, until you get a little bit older, but
yeah. Like Dirty Nursery Rhymes by Two Live Crew.
Exactly. Thank you.
Have you ever heard that song?
No, let me finish this.
Okay. Sorry. I'll look at the lyrics while you're.
So we get to the movie theater. The structure of the movie is Taylor Swift premieres the music video for Fate of Ophelia, the first track off the new album. It's actually a really cool music video. I think it's really well done. A lot of the movie is behind the scenes of the making of the music video. And then she is sitting in like a director's chair introducing each song off the album. So she describes her mindset, her thoughts about what went into writing the song, and then it would show the lyric video. So that song Wood that you read the lyrics of is like track 8 or something like that. So it's later. But as we're getting through the album, I'm like, you know, she's doing all these little descriptions. What is she going to talk about when it gets to this dong song? Cause like we just talked about, this is about, So it opens up and she's like, so this next song about wood, it's just, you know, it's about like superstition and like, you know, black cats and like stepping on a crack and just all, you know, just superstitious stuff, you know, stuff like that. And then she like makes eye contact into the camera, just like basically saying to everybody, yeah, it's what you think it's about. And I'm just going to leave it at that. So it was hilarious the way that she delivered it and the way the fans were like cracking up or just like being like, yeah, right. No, it's not. Like, as she was doing that, it was really funny. It was the most enjoyable part of the movie for me.
Taylor Swift.
All right. What's your song?
She's
a national treasure. She's a national treasure, and I don't want to hear anything to the contrary.
Yeah. Okay, so Two Live Crew, they came out with an album way back, maybe late 80s, early 90s.
2022, I think.
And my older brother got this cassette tape. And this it was all the rage back then at the congressional level, because they're like, this is exactly why we need to keep our kids safe from music and lyrics. So there's a song, Dirty Nursery Rhymes. All right. Let me give you I'm not going to do
this. Podcast is getting an explicit rating, I'm sure. Already.
I'm not going to give you all of the lyrics, but here's an example of the lyrics. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet with her legs gapped open wide. Up came a spider, looked up inside her and said, "That P word's wide." Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, effing this cutie pie, stuck in his thumb, made the B word come and said, "Hell of an N-word am I."
Okay. Wow. You can't say half the lyrics.
Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall because a hoe on the Ave was sucking his balls. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put that fat motherfucker back together again. Anyways, which is basically what Taylor Swift came out with
it's her basically song, the same song.
Her song,
yeah.
Would.
There are a couple other songs with some, there's quite a few songs with explicit lyrics on this album. And there's one song where it's called Father Figure. It's actually,
it's about got like Kelsey's penis.
Obviously. There is a line where she says her dick is bigger. Like that's, and when it got to that song, I was like, there's kids in this theater. Like, am I going to have to see that word in the lyric video over and over again? Because, like, part of the chorus. And it was then when I realized, oh, she's playing the clean versions of these songs. So it was interesting to hear a lot of the songs as well, the clean versions. And then it's like, oh, what word are they going to switch out for another word?
What word did they use? Wick?
No, I think my check's bigger. Because it's talking about being powerful and having influence and things like that. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
National Treasure.
Yeah, new album. Not a lot of people have heard about it. Life of a Showgirl, available everywhere now, including cassette. You mentioned cassette. Mm-hmm. You can buy a cassette tape of Taylor Swift's new album. Who's using cassette?
I don't know. My grandma just moved from her house into my uncle's house, and she had a bunch of 8-tracks from my aunt who passed away a couple of years ago. And so I'm the proud owner of a bunch of cool classic rock 8-tracks.
Do you have an 8-track player?
Nope. I'm just gonna mount them on the wall for soundproofing.
I at least don't feel bad when we buy vinyl albums.
That's actually a cool idea. Actually, I wonder if there's like
display the 8-tracks.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any 3D printers that like 3D printer things where it's like I can mount that on the wall like that. Oh, thanks, Travis. Thanks for the idea. All right, go ahead.
You're welcome. Also, maybe go to a pawn shop and see if there's an 8-track player.
I don't need to play the music. I think it's cool, like a cool little decoration to have a bunch of cool 8-tracks displayed.
8-tracks. Well, that was my weekend, but I mean, we've barely scratched the surface on seeing what you've been up to in the last week. So,
oh, yeah.
When we come back, that's right. We are going to take a break. But when we come back.
So, that's our show for today. We'll see you guys later.
We will talk about what Brandon got up to this weekend. So stick around. We'll be right back. Can you tell that one person controls the video aspect and another person controls the audio aspect?
Nope.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for sticking around. Brandon, my favorite team in the National Football League is the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think you have officially gone to four times as many games of theirs as I have. Oh, maybe not. No, because I guess I have technically, well, four times the regular season games probably. How many Charger games you've been to these days?
I went to the Dolphins game. I went to a non-Dolphins game. And then this one against the Washington Commanders. This last week. Yeah. Yeah. And so VetTix hooked me up with tickets to this game.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, but
you would have heard it in the break that we just did.
Instead of that casino ad that you heard.
What if they were a sponsor and we just didn't know about it because all of the ads are programmatically done?
that'd be fantastic. But yeah, so I went to the Chargers game on Sunday. Originally I was going to go with Dexter and Chelsea, but Dexter got sick this weekend, and so I was like, oh crap, I need to find somebody else to go with. Originally I was going to go with my coworkers Justin and Jeff. They were both going to go. Justin dropped out because he went on Saturday to a concert down in San Pedro with like Bad Religion and Face to Face and a bunch of punk bands. And so that night at like 11:30, he was like, I'm going to cancel on tomorrow. I'm exhausted. And I said, it's okay. I knew you were going to puss out. So me and Jeff went yesterday, and we got there. The first quarter of the game, I was like, okay, all right, they're doing good. We're like pretty stoked. Like the crowd was cheering for them. And then they started sucking, and then the crowd started cheering more for the Commanders. It was so cool. There's one play of the game where the Commanders are punting from their end zone, and they kick the ball, and I see one of the defenders run into the kicker. I'm like, oh, that's not good. But then the receiver gets it, and he makes a marvelous run all the way back to the end zone. And this guy who was sitting in front of us with a Chargers helmet, and it had like the bolt on it. It was very wide. I could only see like my left eye could see past it. The right eye only saw the bolt. But he was standing up. He's like, yeah, yeah, woo, yeah. Like, no, man, no. Sit down. It was not a good play. Jeff and I, we left about middle of the third quarter. We went to go to a bar instead, and then we had lobsters and beer.
All right, in SoFi Stadium.
No, we left SoFi. We wanted to beat traffic. Okay. We wanted to leave before all the other Chargers fans left the stadium.
At the end of the third quarter. Yeah. The thing that really sucks the most is like it's not like they just did really well at the beginning of a game and then showed who they really were. They had to go and win like three games straight and really get my hopes up that they were going to be a good team this year, and then lose two games in a row that were just really winnable games that they had no business losing. And so, that drive after you left where it looked like the Chargers were going to score a touchdown, bring the score within three, and really make it a competitive fourth quarter, throwing an interception on the goal line right at the end there. That's when I turned it off. And I was like, well, that's enough for me. That's enough heartbreak.
There was that one play too. It was a beautiful throw. It was like, oh, this is going to be good. And then fumbled. That was another time that the guy stood up and was like, yeah, yeah, woo. Like he fumbled it, man. He fumbled it. Pay attention to the game.
Yeah. He needs to follow through on what he's watching before he starts cheering.
Yeah.
Just a quick little check.
They hiked the ball. Yeah. He fumbled it. It was a pick six. Yeah. That type of thing. So,
look back at the field at some point.
And that was the thing. The entire time he's looking directly at the field. Like, and then the infinity screen at SoFi is there. You can see everything that's going on at all times. This older guy who was sitting next to him, like, was missing teeth. Was basically like, he might have been like already drunk already. He was like the voice of reason here. He's like, "No, man, you gotta sit down. That's not a good play."
I have to ask, like, do people get really inebriated at SoFi for these games?
Yeah, I think they. What I'm confused by, and this is a great thought that I had that you brought up, which is the tickets we had, they're free tickets. They were all the way up in the stands. And like the way the stands are so fucking steep, you get vertigo looking down as you're walking down the steps. And I'm like,
yeah,
how do more people not die in these places? Because it gets so fucked up drinking and then they have to walk down. How do more people not just be like, then fall over the railing onto the field, and it's just like a bloody mess of like a bloody tumbleweed making it all the way to the ground. I just don't understand how it doesn't happen more often.
I went to my very first NFL game rather late in my life. It was only like three years ago, I think. And I went and watched the Chargers play at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs.
Yeah. Right.
Taylor Swift was there. And I was relating it back to the earlier topic. Wood was there as well. I'm wearing my Chargers jersey. I'm like, I'm going into Arrowhead. I'm going into Chiefs Kingdom. I'm going to get stabbed or shot or something. And we're walking around the parking lot. People are tailgating like crazy. And people are super nice. They're like inviting us into their tailgates or giving us free food, free drinks. Like, we had multiple like beers offered to us before we even got in the stadium. Jello shots, you name it. So I'm like, I don't want to drink anymore because like we're sitting in pretty good seats. I don't want to be like hammered and then like not be able to appreciate this game. We go into the stadium a little bit earlier and I'm like walking around and checking things out. Like first time in the stadium, I want to see what's there. They had like the Super Bowl trophies in like this area and stuff. So I was like looking at that. And then we're on the visiting side of the stadium. So pregame workouts, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go walk over kind of back behind the Chargers bench and like see what's going on over there. And so I walk over and I walk all the way down to like the side of the field. And as I'm walking down, there's a guy, this is pregame, mind you, walking in front of me that is so wasted. He can't physically walk down the stairs safely. He stumbles a couple times and then I'm like, is he going to a seat? Because any seat down here is pretty pricey. And if you're that drunk before you get to the seat, like, dang. But I don't know. Everybody's liver is different. So, you know,
but no judgment. How did he not turn into a bloody tumbleweed?
Yeah, this was a key bloody tumbleweed situation. I it was primed for it.
Because people get blitzed. The first Chargers game I went to against the Dolphins, I went with Chelsea. She was wearing, we got this Dolphins like big sports jacket from Sizemore's dad. And so she was wearing that. I was wearing my Seau jersey. I didn't get yelled at because it was Seau, but it was a Dolphins jersey. So like, I see what you did there, buddy. We were with a couple Dolphins fans, but then there were the Chargers fans right next to us. And one of these guys was like so belligerent, drunk and yelling at the Dolphins fans. And then Chelsea and I were like, okay, yeah, we're about to lose this. We'll head out. They're like, yeah, get the fuck out of here, man. of course you leave it. Like, we didn't interact with you at all during this time. And now you're like drunk yelling at us. I hope that guy was tumbleweeded.
It's funny because, like I said, everybody in Kansas City was really nice until it was like third, fourth quarter. And they were winning handily. And then people started talking crap. And I was like, I've already lost. Like, you can't hurt me any more than I had. Like, I'm already sad. Like, it's fine. I still to this day wonder what would have been a worse outcome, the Chargers winning or losing, really. Like, because then at that point, then, like, I'm excited, but everybody else is like, you got here, you stupid powder blue sissy, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure that's what they would say in Kansas City.
That's certainly not what they said to anyway, you, even when they're winning. So,
yeah, that's the exact words. But anyway, it's football's cool. Yeah. My fantasy teams are trash, injury plagued, and just really not performing up to expectations.
Yeah, yeah. I was winning in one of my leagues, but the running back for the Panthers, who was playing the Dolphins, Dowdle, destroyed the Dolphins. So I lost that. Yeah.
It's good. That's good. I even lost to the person that we all joke about.
You lost to Dornetto.
Good. Oh no, not in that league. in my work league. Yeah. Okay. But I lost to Bob, our commissioner, and also a listener of this podcast. So
yeah. He's an Eagles fan, so he lost this week too.
I mean, yeah. We're all losers. We all play fantasy football. We're all losers. So, all right. What else is going on? Anything else? Anything else happening in the world of Brandino?
Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about is, I was supposed to go up to Carpinteria for my sister-in-law's, little birthday get together.
Quinceañera.
Yeah. But as mentioned before, Dexter was sick. So, so Chelsea went up by herself and then I stayed at home with Dexter. And so I'm like, I'm in my house. Rewind a day. I went running with my friend Justin. And then after we're done running, we started talking about like home improvements and stuff like that. And he was talking about like running Ethernet through his house. And then he showed me like where like his switch and stuff like that was. Cause I was like, we want to downsize a little bit because we have all these DVDs and Blu-rays. I want to digitize those and then get rid of the physical media. So I'm like, how do we do that? And then we started talking about the Ethernet and then running that through the house because it's better than Wi-Fi. It's more efficient than Wi-Fi. I'm like, okay. So now go back to Saturday. Chelsea's gone. I'm sitting in the house and I'm like, I'm sitting in front of the computer right here. I've done some ChatGPT stuff to like try to improve our automations and what have you. I'm sitting here. I want to do something else since I'm here all day. Like, I wonder what it would take to put Ethernet through the house. Okay, the attic's right back here. Let me take a look. So I go get the ladder. Open up the attic. Go in there. I'm like, okay, all right. Get down from the ladder. I come back in this office. I see where the coax is on the wall. I'm like, okay, so that has to run up there. Let me look at YouTube. Okay, I need these things. All right, I'm going to Lowe's now. So I go to Lowe's. I get some Ethernet. And so IT guy, right? Like I've been in IT since 2004, and like I learned how to make cables. I've learned I know how to network. Like I can do all these things. I just don't do them. And I'm like, you know what? Because you're just now running Ethernet through your house over all these years, like the first time ever, you should also make your own cables. Cause that's punishment for you, Brandon. Make your own cables. Because you are no better. So I'm like, okay, get the
But like to your credit, knowing how to do that and then having the flexibility to just build the cables to the length you need instead of just buying pre-built cables and then having them be either way too long or way too short or things like that, I think is also definitely an advantage if you're trying to do your own wiring in the house.
Yeah. So I get all the stuff and I hadn't built Cat 5, let alone Cat 6 in, I don't know, at least a decade and a half. And so I start with like the first trying to build just one end of the Cat 6, and I'm like, God, this is a pain in the ass. This is stupid. Ugh, it's annoying. Ugh, it's not working. How did I do this before? I ran the cable, took the coax, and I followed down the wall and all those type of things, and then like then I ran it through my attic to my garage and then down by where the fiber went into my living room. I was like, okay, so I matched that up and okay, went through, tested it. It all works fine. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. This is great. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm decent at this Cat 6 thing. And so I started watching a movie and I was just starting to, then I started building more Cat 6. I'm like, you know what? This is kind of zen. Once you figure it out, I'm like, okay, green dotted, green, orange dotted, blue, blue dotted, dotted orange. Like, okay, all right. Oh, and then I straighten them out here. Okay, and then put that in there. Okay. Okay, got it figured out. Like, bend this one a little bit there. Then it goes that way. Okay. And then, crimp. Let's do another one.
So now you just have piles of Cat 6, but not any actual... Yeah. To hook it up to or something.
What you don't see below me is just I'm swimming in Cat 6. And Chelsea's like, why are all these cables here? This is like 20 grand worth of cables. But
it's therapeutic, Chelsea.
It's therapeutic. But no, it's cool. It's cool. So I'm like, part of it is like, you know, Dexter has his Xbox in his room. That's on Wi-Fi. We have our TV in our bedroom. That's on Wi-Fi, right? And I'm like, you know, so my office is kind of right smack dab in the middle. The ether goes from my office to the modem, the router. So I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is, this is just like proof of concept to see if I can do it. If I still kind of know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is, up in the attic, I'll put a switch in there, like a heat resistant switch. And then from there I will, I'll terminate that end and then have that switch distribute it to the office that's across the hallway here, Dexter's room, and then our bedroom. So
that's awesome.
And then we don't have to worry about Wi-Fi
and run it at my house too.
As long as it's in the winter, because the attic gets really hot.
So hot. It's so hot. I was in my attic on Sunday getting Halloween decorations out, and it gets toasty.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Little steamy up there.
Little steamy. Well, congrats. Very good job. Excited for, you know, stable internet as we record these episodes and things like that.
Has it been stable? Have you seen any kinks?
Pauses every now and then, but I don't know if it's you or my like super old computer that we still managed to podcast on. So yeah. I just assume it's you
at this point in time. Yeah.
We'll see.
As long as it doesn't shut off.
It's still working. It's still working. So we got that going for us.
My laptop has no Wi-Fi on it right now because one of the cables I built went from my wall here. And I was like, okay, I measured it out, length it, to this Ethernet. I'm like, you know what? Let me turn the Wi-Fi off on the computer. I'm a regular wired man now.
Regular old wired man. My laptop doesn't have an Ethernet port.
Mine doesn't either.
Thanks, Apple.
If there's any glitches, it's probably because I'm going through a hub. It's probably the speed to the Ethernet to the hub is probably really fast, but then it goes USB-C to my computer. That probably slows it down a little bit. I don't know. I'm not an IT guy, so I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I just play one on TV. So, all right. Well, all right. I think that is going to do it for this episode. We have to skedaddle because we are still making niche fantasy football podcasts strictly for the 30 people in our fantasy football Facebook group. So, yeah, it's like 30 people in there, Brandon. It is. It really is.
Yeah,
he's counting right now.
Yeah, anyway, no, I'm looking at the glitches of my internet.
Are you already looking up scores? All right, so that'll do it for this. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts on, you know, Lorcana Set Champs or Taylor Swift or Chargers fans. You know, what or Cat Six. Any of those topics. Let us know. like, subscribe, do all the things. Or you can rate and review this over on your podcatcher of choice. Until next time, I am Travis. He's Brandon.
I am Brandon. Yeah.
I didn't know if you were done talking. It sounded like you had original sound from musicians.
No, I kept triggering on and off. So I'll turn on now because I'm Brandon.
I'm Travis. And we'll see you next time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.